Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Jenna is not her usual Jenna.
I just got
If this were a Looney Tunes
today.
Cartoon, there would be sad violin music backing. Aww.
I started my day off just fine. I was in the best mood. Everything was great.
You were an Aunt Jenna.
Aunt Jenna.
Yeah. But now you're not so much an Aunt Jenna.
Throughout the day, I was like, God, I came in from outside and my nose was sniffly, and that just happens sometimes. And then it continued to be sniffly, and I didn't think much about it. And I came over and I had dinner with the Sterlings. And I just showed up and I was like, I'm out of it, yo. And now my throat's starting to hurt, and I'm like, shit. I'm coming down with something. I'm fairly confident. But it was really impressive how quickly it, like over the course of the, because, for the first half of the day, I was productive. I was sorting bras, you guys. Like, it was impressive. No, you don't understand. I have a massive bra collection.
No, like,
and some of
them
don't.
You gotta sort them out, you know, because, like, that's my drinking bra.
No.
And that's my going to parties bra.
Actually, I have you do have different bras for different like cuts of shirts and things like that. But then there's also the I'm about to have my period, and then the I just had my period bra. Because
Victoria's Secret
catalog.
Not
for everybody, but a lot of women like their breast size will change during the month.
So are they bigger before or after?
I think
during,
kind of before for me actually, before, right before and then during, and then they just deflate. It's like my period happens and my boobs go with it or something. I don't know.
All of the blood that has engorged them has been ejected
after. I don't think that's how any of this works. Very literally.
No. This is science.
Nipples don't work that way.
Science. This is science.
Have I told you the nipples don't work that way story?
We should drink before you tell us.
I feel like I'm gonna want to drink for this.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
So we've got a hot house call here.
There we go. Hot house call.
It's Southern Comfort, in this case, Southern Comfort Pepper.
That's what makes it the hot.
With a Dr. Pepper.
So it's a Dr. Pepper, Southern Dr. Pepper. Yeah, Dr. Pepper does it again. I love the little after kick. The little, hi, I'm still here, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the what do you call it when the doctor comes back?
Yeah.
It's the follow-up.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like a follow-up appointment.
I know I'm going to regret this.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
James, tell us a story.
All right. So anime.
Even he's reluctant to tell it.
We can
just skip this if you really want to.
In the anime circle.
I don't think we can now. It's too late.
Porn cartoons, there was a collection of the worst.
Oh, is this the breast that continue to bounce long?
No. This is somebody's showing us the worst anime porn hentai imaginable, and in one of them, someone starts fisting a tit.
How?
Like with the fingers, spreads the nipple open as if there's a hole.
Oh God!
As if there's one big, and then inserts the hand, and then inserts the whole hand. And then just starts fisting
any of
the,
this
right.
works.
Yeah, and I was watching and I went, oh, nipples don't work that way. That's that is not how nipples work. And that became a colloquial.
Nor would it be sensual if it did.
Yep. Correct.
Look,
but that's a thing.
Any woman that's ever breastfed can tell you that breastfeeding hurts when you start. Mm-hmm. Like your nipples get raw. You're rubbing utter cream on them,
they get cracked and raw.
Until your nipples toughen up, and that's not.
Yeah, no. There's nothing functional or sexy about that.
Mm-mm.
So, and I say that
Have you ever wanted to hit a punching bag from the inside?
Now
it's like a sock and bopper. But no, I didn't. I was like traumatized. I was like, I love breasts. Don't do this to them. That's sad and terrible. Please no. Nipples don't work that way became a colloquial phrase among that group. And then when someone was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go outside and do this thing to my car, and then it's going to be faster, we'd be like, nipples don't work that way.
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
I feel like I needed that drink.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should take a break so I can drink that away.
How about I just start talking about my life?
Please do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Something much more wholesome than that. Oh. My daughter's in one-act competitions.
Oh. Woo! Yeah, yeah.
The Minnesota High School one-act competitions are underway. Last Thursday, they had the sub-sectionals.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's group won. Like, there were a couple of teams that got to move on from that. So she is now in the sectional finals.
Ah.
Which happens this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they make it past that, she gets to go to state.
Which is pretty fucking awesome.
Right? I think her school had, like, a one-act competition of their own before they even got into the subsectionals. Mm-hmm. And so her one-act was chosen to go to the subsectionals. And then when I was at the subsectionals, right after Jess's performance, I went to use the bathroom. And as I was leaving the bathroom, there was a... you're waiting for somebody at the urinal.
To recognize
to recognize. No. Yeah.
And to say,
but that girl,
your daughter's really talented. Mm-hmm. She's very funny. Also, yeah. No?
You
no.
should be ashamed of yourself because there's no urinals in that room.
I wouldn't
It could
know.
Be unisex.
Yeah.
I just could said the restroom. I didn't say. So anyway... but as I was leaving, there was a woman walking in, and I was like, mm-hmm. I think it's this person. But what would she be doing here? She's like, I mean, so, the person, in question is Shannon Custer, who is a local, playwright, director, actress, woman of... Not only does she do everything, she does it all really fucking well.
Theater
she is...
Theater goddess.
Oh, ooh, uh-huh. Yes. So anyway, she's fucking incredible. I love her work, and she's also kind to boot. Like, she's one of those people, like, as an actress, like, you want to be like, oh, I hate the bitch. She's so...
She also has great boots.
She's so good and talented and blah, 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 blah. But you can't hate her because she's nice, which kind of pisses you off more.
Hmm.
Funny as shit.
Oh, my God, yes. So anyway, I get back to my seat and I open up the program because mm-hmm. I hadn't had a chance to look at it because I had gotten in right before Jess's show.
Ah.
And then really had to pee.
I really did.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I know how that goes.
So I open up the program and they didn't list the directors for the one acts, but they did list, writers, permission by, performers, all of the rest of it, just not the directors. And I saw that there was a play, a one act that had been adapted by a play written by Josh Carson, who is a local playwright, who I also know to be friends with Shannon Custer. And I was like, I see what's going on here. I'm picking up what you're putting down. So my daughter's, one act moved on to the finals. Also, Shannon/Josh's one act thing has moved on to the finals.
Excellent.
And when, like, so Josh had posted, yay, my show's being done for the finals, like, it advanced. And I was like, my daughter's too. And Shannon's like, who is your daughter? And I was like, she was the creepy sitting robot. And Shannon Custer actually remembered a line of Jess's, and I was just like, fangirl, oh my god. I was like, oh, it's this one. And yeah, she seemed very...
From now on, when you mention your daughter, I think Salsa and I have to call you a name dropper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been doing that for a long ass time.
Yeah. In my head, I have been.
Too. Oh, right, good. Yeah. Good.
But we've also discovered that because, so Jessa.
Name dropper.
Thank you. Not only did she play a creepy robot in this thing,
okay,
but back when they did Steampunk Romeo and Juliet last fall, she played the apothecary. Mm-hmm. And since it was steampunk, she was like a, she got like a plague doctor's mask and all of this. And like she entered from the back of the house really slowly and creepy like, and like startled audience people. It was fantastic. I was like,
so your daughter plays creepy really well.
Yeah, that's, so that's what I told her. I was like, so you're just creepy? And she's like, I found my niche. Like, excellent. But I mean, there, she is a very subtle actress, which compared to my is right. Yeah, I don't know where.
What was that?
Jenna has two settings: asleep and
on a scale of one to salsa.
Yeah.
Oh, some poor listener.
Somebody make that a ringtone.
Some poor listener is like, oh, god damn it.
Please make that a ringtone.
So one of our listeners is like, go back to the orgasms. Just go back to the orgasm noises.
No,
just,
and what you know, what you don't realize is that she's getting closer and closer to the actual orgasm noise.
No, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm hurting my throat doing that.
Yeah.
I'm suffering from my art. God damn it.
She's actually where they got the noise for Porgs, is what.
Yes.
Where that.
I had a date like that once.
Where that happens.
Okay, you're welcome, Salsa. Good. Just. Okay.
He's having a bad problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I'm super proud of my daughter and everybody.
As well you should be.
Send, I don't know, good thoughts, prayers, vibes, whatever your thing is. And if you don't have a thing, that's cool, too. Just be positive and do some good for somebody. But this Saturday, at like, I think her show's on at, like, 8 a.m. Like, I was just talking to her today, and she's like, I think we're up at 8. I'm like, shit.
Wow.
I don't want to... they're not up at 8, but, like, I think they're the first ones up, which means we need to be there at 8 or something.
Gross.
That is...
Yeah.
That is super gross.
But, yeah. So that would be awesome. If they made it to state. And then, yeah, and fingers, so, and she has to compete against Josh Carson's play again, directed by Shannon Custer. So, like, there's this part of me that's like, that's gonna be tough to beat, yo. Good luck.
And they, because they're not competing as a school, they're competing as individual one acts?
No. The school itself is competing. For the wine art competition. So
each this was the regional thing where you bumped into Shannon.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and it was for a different school.
Yeah. So yes.
Fuck.
So it was regional. They called it subsectional, but you could call it regional. But their subsection had like 12 different schools over the course of two nights. And it just happened that both of those two schools, different schools, were in the same night. For the subsectional.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. No, Jessa is representing her school.
Nice.
And made it to sectional. I mean, not just her. Her entire show, her entire one act is representing the school. But
let's be honest.
But, you guys, she's so creepy. It was so good. Like, I love it when my daughter creeps me out with her acting, and that's weird, but it's such a proud
hashtag
mama moment.
Things to take out of context.
No. Aww.
All right. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else I did, because I know I did lots of stuff. I heard a band called Sloth Check.
Oh.
Sloth Check?
Sloth Check.
Sloth Check. Like yes. C-Z-E-C-H?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's my understanding. I don't know. They didn't spell it out for me. They played music that seemed to be from that general area of the world, so I made assumptions.
Oh.
Eh.
You know what happens when you make assumptions.
Sometimes they're accurate.
Sometimes you're correct.
Yeah. The look on your face
God
is
delightful. God damn it.
It's true.
It is true. But, yeah, the gentleman I'm seeing, Brett Mia, he was like, Well, at first, we were going to go see the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra.
Yeah.
At the Turf Club.
Yeah?
Right.
Yeah, you were talking about this.
Yeah, they're sold out.
Yeah.
So, instead, we went to hear Slavchak at a dive bar.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Awesome.
They also did some like Irish folk and some other things, but it was folk songs, and it was fantastic.
Now I want to hear Irish folk on balalaikas and accordions.
Mm. They had an accordion player, but he was also a pianist or keys or whatever
sure.
you want to
make sense.
Call it. It's as if they're very similar instruments that. People
it was confusing when he kept like splitting the piano in half and dragging half of it across the stage and then pushing it back while he played it.
But entertaining as hell. So yeah, I really enjoyed him.
Borga bit.
Yeah, now I want to see this as prop comedy. I want two piano players with
just
the back
giant...
of the player pianos.
Grand piano.
You guys, this has already been done. In cartoon form.
You're talking about in Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, no, not the Roger Rabbit. There was, was it Daffy Duck and was it Bugs Bunny? I don't remember if it was Daffy and Bugs or if it was like...
I thought it was Donald Duck and Daffy Duck in
yes.
Framed Roger Rabbit. Just before Jessica's act.
No, but there was an act... there was that. You're correct. That was a thing, but there was an actual other Disney cartoon that happened beforehand that I believe that was referencing.
Entirely likely.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe
when
I'm
do cartoons
conflating
reference
everything.
Each other? Never.
Uh-huh.
They never do.
Uh huh.
They never do.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
Right.
Sure, James. All right. Yeah. So I heard them.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know. I saw some cartoons with some friends. That was fun.
Neat.
Yeah.
Was it the cartoon where the guy is fisting the nipple?
No.
Oh.
No.
Not that cartoon.
This was the cartoon that has the main character that looks like Eric Thompson.
Ah.
Oh. Mm.
Yes, yes. It's yeah. Steven Universe is such a good show.
It is.
Yeah.
You should... Your kids would love it. You would love watching it with your kids. Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
It's a Cartoon Network.
There are also
Network.
Websites. That
yeah, there's...
Yar, har, fiddle-dee-dee. Being a pirate is all right with me.
Okay.
Do what you want, because a pirate is free.
I've got my kids watching He-Man, so
you
I think I'm doing
a
pretty
pirate.
Fucking good job.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And then lots of die laughing stuff. So much die laughing stuff. Oh, my God. Oh, I did a Ville show.
Yes.
Oh, God, I almost forgot I did a Ville show. It was so good. My brain can't handle it, and so just, like, ignore the fact. James, you should talk about the Ville show. And maybe I'll interject from time to time.
Yeah, you remember that thing last week where we were both like, yeah, we're going to lose this miserably, but we're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
We did not lose miserably. We kind of swept that round. I think they got...
So the audience lost miserably.
A point.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really pay attention to the points.
Well,
we had some very fun back and forth.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us had a battle of...
Yeah.
Like
a couple of solid
stepping
volleys.
Forward and yeah,
you actually stepped forward more than I think I've seen you step forward with any other partner.
You told me I had to.
Yeah,
you,
I did.
You, I mean, you were like, if you're gonna step forward, fucking do it.
Yeah,
do it. And I was like, all right, I'm fucking.
Yeah,
I will.
You did.
I will
groove, huh?
You were, and you were. I don't want to say you were angrier. That wasn't, but you were more grr.
Yeah.
In the zone, huh?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was playing off of what I was getting from the other team.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and like Chris and Nathan
yeah.
are an aggressive team.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was it was a good volley. The rest of the show was fun.
Yeah. Oh, the games were so fun.
The games were fantastic. That laughing thing we could have done for like... We could have just done a show of laughing.
I,
honestly, I think we could have.
I think it's better to do that and have the audience go, I want more.
Yeah.
I want
more. No, I agree. Laughing, by the way, audience, is it's telling stupid jokes.
For those barbarians who don't know.
Right. It's really telling stupid jokes. It's like, hey, James.
Yeah, Jenna.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know, Jenna. What do you call a fish with no eyes? Ba-dum-bum. Yeah.
And then, yeah, everybody laughs. And then, and it's the way we did it was, I mean, the actual laughing has like little doors that people would poke their heads
sure.
through.
Sure, it's
to
a,
do these
a wall
things.
Of doors, yeah.
Yeah. So we just
had
like.
We don't have that kind of money. We don't have door money.
We don't, yeah. Man, we don't even have like mouse door money. We don't have cat door money.
Yeah.
We don't have hole in the wall.
I don't
money.
Think we have beaded curtain money, really.
Oh.
So I
yeah.
I mean, yeah, we just had painted panels that we held in front of our faces.
Sounds like you have mime wall money.
The Becky,
technology for invisible walls.
Becky from our guest from last week was yeah. also in the show, and we were supposed to dress as something funny, and she dressed as a mime, which
I thought you were supposed to dress them like funny.
Right. No, she fucking nailed it, yo.
Yeah.
She did a mime insult. Like, it was...
Nice.
Yeah. She fucking owned that shit. She did nice. A fantastic job, so...
This pleases me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had one of those moments that I got super proud of and, like, shouldn't be, but I'm going to be proud of it for, like, forever now. One of those rare moments they get maybe once a year where you're just like, oh, my God, everything came together. And it was one of the segments we had to tell a joke based off of a topic that we were given that is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given school shootings.
Oh, fuck.
So I just... made the insult. Your mom's taken more shots to the face than a Columbine student.
Nice.
Right? Columbine?
Columbine.
Columbine. Yeah. Okay.
Like the flower.
Yeah.
It's like combine.
But as I delivered it, I just got sadder and sadder that I was delivering this insult.
Yeah, she couldn't make it all the way to the end
really
of that
couldn't.
Joke. And the audience is already laughing, and Tim's like, I think you're good. That's,
yeah,
we're done. That's
So that was that one.
Yeah.
But then later on, we were doing a stand-up segment where we were given general stand-up topics that, you know, stand-up comedians will do a joke based off of this topic, and so we're supposed to come up with a joke or something. And I wasn't super clear on the format for that one, so I just did things. But I went up to the mic, and the topic was school. And I just said, more shots to the face than...
Right.
And then, like,
she
everybody
was
done.
Yeah.
Everybody was fucking
all
done.
Back.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And that was like, I have those moments where everything just comes together, and you get to drop that perfect...
The
callback
confluence
or the,
of all of these,
or the or just the comment that
right.
happens to be the best fucking thing ever, or whatever it is.
Those golden moments.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be proud of that for like forever.
Awesome. With reason.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was good. We got feedback on the show. Apparently, it was offensive.
Yep.
A Ville show.
I know.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Somebody
yeah.
somebody
no.
contacted Tim and was like, I was offended. Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So we did our job. Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah. To be fair, we try to be offensive, but not necessarily offending. But
yeah.
when you're telling that line, you're going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's kind of...
The goal is not to offend people. The goal is to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With offensive humor.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, but it's gonna happen sometimes. So whatever.
And does.
Yeah.
Tim gets letters every year.
Yeah.
I remember yes. Tim cornering us and being like, "No one said anything yet. Dial it up." This was this last summer, and he was like, "Guys, nobody said anything. Feel free."
Look, if we haven't gotten three complaints by the second weekend, we're doing something wrong.
Yep.
Yep. Anything else, Dave?
Well, for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on
I was
you
using
now.
That as a transition to you.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I said that beforehand. Yeah, kinda. So.
Well, I was really nervous about this show because there was a lot to it. There was a lot more prep than usual. And because I had written a lot of new, like, my goal is to have new jokes for every show and to do primarily new jokes, which is already nerve-wracking enough. But then also, like, having the jokes for laugh-in and also figuring out the joke for the first part of the show when we were introduced as stand-up comedians. We just did a chain of introductions where, like, Becky was in front of me, so the person introduced her, brought her up on stage, and she
told
said, you know, hey, folks, it's great to be here, and blah, 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 and here's this joke. And then she said, and now, let me bring up our next performer. Keep that applause going for James. And then I run out on stage,
right.
And, you know, hey, a little more applause for Becky, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Tell my joke, and then I bring up the next person. And it was fucking fantastic. That was a great opening bit.
And by joke, he means like street jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, not insults. Actual jokes.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Set.
Not stand up because it was street jokes, but
fair enough.
Mimicking that. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and also we did something just monstrous, which was to read Trump tweets, to read them in voices. So to give a character to them, and one of my most favorites was Chris reading...
Sometimes I feel like he's already speaking in tongues, so I'm...
She was reading a Trump tweet as a Valley girl, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
I have never heard that be more correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was exactly the right voice to read that
whiny
in.
Whiny and bitchy.
And, like, really catty and shitty. Yeah,
right.
Just... And,
yep.
Kind of dumb. Yeah. Perfect.
Nailed
and then
it.
Nathan was terrified that he was going to... Because people were just rolling through a bunch of examples of, you know, what it could be. And someone was like, Elmer Fudd. And he goes, fuck, I hope it's not Elmer Fudd. Because I can't do any impressions like
Schwarzenegger.
Elmer Fudd, anything like that. Yeah, right. And so Nate gets up front and Tim's like, all right, and you got this one and your voice is Elmer Fudd. And he just goes... Motherfucker. Yeah.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
That's why I wasn't vocal about the fact that I didn't want Elmer Fudd.
Don't give Tim ideas.
Don't.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Just don't.
But I think it was a fantastic show.
Never give away your weakness.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, you'll end up doing Schwarzenegger voices.
Yeah.
For a lot of shows.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
In a row.
Who would do that?
Monsters.
Yeah. What else did you do, James?
I mean, that's kind of it. I've been walking one of the dogs a little more frequently. I live with two dogs now.
This is the weirdest Ville show I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
It's a yo-yo trick, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Because I live with two puppies, and they're fucking adorable, and I love them. And they are puppies, actually.
Okay.
One of them is functionally a fucking horse, but is still a very young dog. So a friend came over. We went for a walk. We went for actually like an hour and a half walk with these dogs. And it was phenomenal. And the puppies are so cute. But we had a great time. But I'm also extremely sore because... the puppy that I was walking, Dyson, is he's not an area dog. He doesn't like if the end of the leash forms the outer edge of a circle. Some dogs are area dogs. They'll just travel all over the inside of that circle and occasionally reach the outer edge,
mm-hmm.
and they'll describe the interior of the circle. And then some dogs, like Dyson, are perimeter dogs. And it doesn't matter which direction they're traveling, they are always at the end of the leash. And so it was just like constant, wherever he is, I'm forming the fulcrum around which he's spinning. And so like just from holding on to the leash, my entire body is sore because it was just constantly but it was really good. He, when we got him back home, it was the first time that I've seen him be that mellow. We actually tired him out.
Nice.
Which is a great thing, because I think he's been getting really bored and really extra, like, full of shenanigans, because he needs that kind of interaction.
Right.
So it felt really good to do something nice for him. And I also had, like, a really pleasant walk with this person, and it was nice. So,
cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Yay.
Yeah. That's, all right. That's what I've been up to.
Cool. U.S. Pond Hockey Championship was this last weekend.
Oh, yeah?
On the lake just a block away from my house, like it is every year.
Cool.
And so we had our annual pilgrimage over there with the kids. Brought the kids over there. This year we brought the hockey stick and the hockey pucks, and you know, so the kids could play some pass. And
nice.
I guess what's the hockey version of catch?
I think it's still catch, but different.
But yeah, we got out there and we watched some of the tournament, and we, you know, played a little bit of pass the puck with the kids, and yeah, it was a good time. For the first time, I got to see sled hockey up close.
Sled hockey. Is that like polo?
No, just about to ask.
This is for disabled people.
Okay. Oh, whoa, awesome.
So you've got this sled that you sit in, and you've got a seat, and then there's a metal frame that comes out to the front, and you strap your legs onto that.
Yeah.
And underneath your butt is the blades.
Yeah.
And then underneath at the end underneath under where your feet are is just a U-shaped metal sticking down, so that it slides over the ice. You know, but you can still pivot and stuff like that. And what they do is they have two hockey sticks, one in each hand. And these hockey sticks have a much shallower angle to them. They're almost straight. They just have a very slight curve because, of course, the angle of where they're at is.
Right.
And they're only about 2 feet long, you know.
Sure. They don't have a lot of distance
exactly.
to go.
Exactly. But on the butt end of them is just like metal teeth.
Yeah.
And so they use the hockey sticks, the butt end of them, to propel themselves along.
Neat.
And then they have the hockey sticks to hit the puck with.
So wheelchair basketball plus luge.
It's wheelchair basketball for hockey is basically what it is.
And see, it's fucking awesome.
And
what it sounds like.
You know, these guys are really good. Like, some of these guys can, you know, some of the things that I was seeing, like, the pass underneath themselves, like, basically between the legs, if you will, you know, across to their teammate and stuff like that. And just the fact that they can have both sticks just digging into the ice, just hell-bent for leather towards that puck, and then they just flip that in their hand, and it's a, you know, they're using it as a hockey stick,
sure,
and then they can immediately transition that back into a pole that they use to propel themselves, and they're doing these crazy, like, just the turn on a dime and all this stuff, and it was just like, wow, this is I've known about this for a while, and I've seen it like video, but I've never seen it in person, and it was really cool to see.
Nice.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Were the sleds in team colors?
No, the sleds were just like metal. Besides, the team colors are kind of, I mean, it's a pond hockey tournament. It's everybody just kind of grabs whatever hockey jersey they have.
It was shirts versus skins.
Basically, most of the time. No, some of the teams definitely had like a sponsor or something like that. You know, so you would have like the local hardware store logo on their jerseys or something like that.
Oh my God, I want to play for Ace.
And some of them, and honestly, some of them, some of the teams that do this a lot more serious, you know, in the, like, the you know, some of the less serious leagues.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot more loose.
The comedy leagues.
Like, the under 18s and the, like, over 65s and stuff. You know, the ones that are just, like, we're playing a game. But, like, the open, you know, open, whatever it's called, like, that's the serious.
Okay.
Like, competition, and these guys are fucking serious. Like, these dudes don't fuck around, and so they had, like, sponsors, and they had jerseys, and they had, like, really good equipment, and they had...
Nice.
Some of the... Yeah, I mean, some of these guys were really getting into it. Some of the games were getting chippy, you know, and and the level of hockey is staggering. You know, these guys... if you don't know, for those listening, especially if you don't know, pond hockey, you don't have a goalie and you don't have a net. Instead, your goal is just basically a wooden box made out of 2x4.
Okay.
And it almost looks like a pallet.
Okay.
But you've got this wooden box, and on the front of the wooden box, which is about the same width as a normal
regulation goal
would be. Yeah. But on the front, there's a board, and it's only about 4 inches high. And only on the two corners, on the two outside corners, that there is a hole into this box.
Yeah.
So it's like an automatic goalie.
Kind of.
Yeah. Huh.
So there is, on the left side, on the front, there is about a 4x6-7 inch hole, and on the other right side there's another hole.
Sure.
And that's it. Like, that is how you score a goal, is you've got to get it in that little hole. And there are people that will shoot it from the other end of the ice.
Sure.
And nail it.
Jesus, like, fuck.
And the other thing you need to know is...
I don't think I could do it from 2 feet away. Are you kidding me?
I couldn't.
Right.
And the other thing you need to know is this is pond hockey.
Yeah.
This isn't super smooth ice.
No.
This ice has...
It's natural ice.
This ice has cracks, and it has bumps, and it's ripped to shit. So
not the beer.
So when they're making these shots from way out,
yeah,
they're not sliding along the ice, because that would, you know, change the trajectory and stuff like that.
Sure.
So they're shooting these pucks, they're going airborne, and they're going, thunk, right into that hole. From across the fucking ice. It's
nice.
Just like, fucking, holy shit, these guys are amazing. Like, seriously good hockey.
Nice.
Had a lot of fun out there. The kids got bored after a little while.
Sure.
As happens.
Yeah.
It wasn't about them, so.
Yeah.
They're kids. It's
but, you know, I got to watch them. My wife was there with me this year, so it wasn't just me with the kids. It was all four of us. And so we got to, you know, watch some of the games, and then we... You know, went into the warming house, and there were people giving away free shit. And so my kids got a hockey puck, and they were giving away little the little lunchroom boxes of the Reese's peanut butter cereal.
Nice.
And just, you know, handing those out. And so my kids each got one of them and were, like, snacking on it while they were watching the games. It was a lot of fun. It really, really was. It's something I enjoy doing.
Cereal is more delicious when you eat it out of, like, the tiny, tiny packages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what we did over the weekend. And,
sure.
And I enjoyed it. But the other really big thing that happened on Friday was Robbie Burns night.
Ooh.
The Robbie Burns night party that my friends have been having for 10 years now. For those of you that don't know, Robbie Burns is
Evens.
A Scottish poet. He actually penned Auld Lang Syne.
Yes.
Nice.
The New Year's Eve song.
Yeah.
A very, very famous Scottish poet. And every year we get together for Robbie Burns night, and we have a shit ton of scotch.
Mm.
And we drink ourselves silly, and then we have a whole lot of food with potatoes.
Woo,
bless you.
Excuse me. Of course.
We have a whole lot of food that has potatoes and turnips
and
and then we have the haggis.
Oh,
and we also
do you scrape out the sheep's stomach?
We do. It's so good.
Yes,
so good. No, we get to the haggis. So everybody sits down, and we get just all of the food out there. And we've got our neeps and tatties, and we've got our just everything you can think of. And it's Minnesota, so we got green bean casserole and just all sorts of food everywhere. And then they come out, and they have a big serving platter with two big old haggis sigh on him, and Greg comes out, and he reads Robbie Burns' poem
ode to a haggis.
Yes.
And then we eat the haggis.
When we come back, do you want to read that poem for our...
So good. We'll
see. After our break.
We'll
think about it.
But we do ode to haggis, and then we eat the haggis, and we drink more scotch, and it's so happy. I love haggis. Yeah. It's so good. So ate myself completely stupid.
On a scale of 1 to salsa,
I ate myself pretty fucking stupid. I ate so much, and then I went and laid down, and I woke up halfway through the competition. So that's how much I ate.
Wow.
And what was the competition?
So every year they have a competition at their Robbie Burns night, and every year it's slightly different. This year the competition was the first part was a scotch tasting.
Sure.
So they had 5 different kinds of scotch, and you had to match the scotch, you know, the glasses 1 through 5.
Okay.
With the name of the scotch, its price,
ooh,
where it's from,
fuck,
and the tasting notes off the website.
Okay, so the first 4, I can imagine myself maybe being able to do. Mm-hmm.
And it is maybe. It is multiple choice. So you can kind of go, this one tastes more expensive than this one, but like, so you know, and things like that. But still,
that last one, that's a grab bag.
Oh yeah,
what, no, the holy tasty shit. Notes?
Yes,
I would think, because you actually get to taste it.
Some of them are really easy choice.
Yeah. Some of them.
If it's multiple choice, I would think that the tasting notes would actually be like a.
Yeah, some of them, like, if it's like, this has a saltiness to it or something, you're like, okay, this is salty. But some of them are just like, this has hints of caramel and blackberry, and you're just these all taste like that.
Yeah, listening to the child podcast of this one, Extreme Tasting League Scotch, very frequently, they come up with good tasting notes as mm-hmm. hosts, and they tend to agree, and they're like, yes, this is, I'm definitely getting that, there's some kind of like a floral note to it, and I think it's like apple blossoms or something like that, whatever it is. And then they'll read the box, the cork dorkery, and it's a forged on the banks of the, you know, whatever, and it's with hints of, and it's always some ludicrous.
Yeah, it goes off the rails sometimes.
It's usually a rare joy when the tasting mm-hmm. notes actually match what people are getting from the scotch, but it is mm-hmm. weirdly infrequent.
So the scotch tasting is one.
Yes.
The second part was the toast competition. So during dinner, mm-hmm. everybody would say toasts, and whoever had the best toast would win that part. And the third part...
Like a light golden brown.
The third part was...
God damn. Buttered.
Ooh. And Jenna might know what this is.
Mm.
The third part had to do with the Outlander series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had it pegged wrong. Which one of you would know?
I actually recommended this to someone. Yeah, yeah.
So, for those that don't know, this is a...
This sounds mildly familiar. I'm much more of a visual person, so...
This is a series of romance novels.
Uh-huh.
That takes place in Scotland. Wherein the Highlander is the kilted, needs a long kilt because otherwise he wouldn't be able to cover his manhood type character.
Yes.
And yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna go read it now.
Well, it's like a fucking series. There are dozens of these books.
Yeah. The TV show
there's a TV show?
Yes. Yes.
Romance novel. Is that just porn?
No. But this is there's some sauciness. but no. It's this is how I was introduced to it. One of my good friends was like, "You might like this. I put this up on the Plex for you, so feel free to watch this."
I wasn't joking about that, by the way. All of you whose moms like sat and read romance novels, she was reading porn.
Yeah,
I hate to break that to you.
The Smutler would be able to confirm.
Yeah,
The Smutler highlights the edges of the pages that contain the The smuttiness.
Yeah,
but no, you're correct.
But anyway, so the third competition was that, and what everybody was given is they were given very similar to judging a book by its cover, just the picture. And what they had to do was come up with a name.
Oh my!
And the synopsis on the back of the dust jacket.
Uh huh.
And whoever had the best one of those won.
Nice.
So I passed out, and I woke up halfway through the, like, scotch part, and I was just like, whatever, I'm going to get another drink and you know, watch people. But my wife won the best toast.
Ah.
Nice.
So she walked away with a bottle of scotch.
Nice.
The prizes for the winning the scotch tasting was a little taster glass.
Nice.
With one of those little airline bottles of scotch.
Classy.
And the Highlander book, the best book one, I can't remember what they got. Oh, they got gift cards to a book shop.
Oh,
nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, so there were prizes and everything like that.
Yeah, I knew it was based on a book series. I did not know that it was a romance novel series, but that makes a ton of sense based on what I'm seeing.
These are not just bodice rippers. These are bodice rend into little pieces of cloth.
This is that makes based on
bodice riggers.
The few episodes that I've seen.
These aren't bodice rippers. These are bodice shredders.
I intend to watch the rest of this series too. But it's
my wife will lend you some of those books.
There's
if you
some
want.
Fucking.
Yeah. I have readily has read me some of the saucier scenes from some of those books.
Nice.
Holy shit. But anyway, yeah, that was Friday. Really, the important thing was we had haggis because haggis and scotch. I could die happy. And then the next night, Saturday night, Big Fun Radio Fun Time.
Woo!
Fearless presents Big Fun Radio Fun Time. We had a really good lineup of people. We had some amazing scripts, super funny stuff. Had a pretty good crowd. The Phoenix Theater is where we were at. Love that place as
awesome.
Always.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know honestly much more what to say about that one other than that I really, really love doing that show.
Did you close a door?
I closed many doors.
Yes!
I slammed them and I shut them nicely. And
there's something really satisfying
there
about
is.
That.
I made noises of gunfire and people walking and water pouring into cups, and my favorite, and I got to do this. We did a script that we had previously done last year at Convergence, that we did again. It was the only one of the scripts that we did that we have done before, but
I mean, if it's good, but
it's a really good one. Basically the gist of it is, there is a dragon.
Uh-huh.
And she does not have fire breath. Her breath when she breathes is pies.
Yes.
Just pie. And so people are making requests for cherry pie and hot apple pie and chicken pot pie and all this other stuff. And she's like, okay, but it's not a very pretty sight. And they're like, well, you can go over, in the next room and do that. And she's like, okay. And then my script just says, "Dragon makes noise like a whipped cream machine exploding."
Whoa!
Oh! And so I get to just start making the most horrendous sounds.
Yes.
Like. and just on and on like that. And the thing is as long as people are laughing, I keep going.
Right.
I can drag that one out forever because it gets more just disgusting and ludicrous and people are rolling and the voice actors are trying desperately not to lose their shit. And I love that script so much.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I know, right?
Right, yeah. No, that sounds fucking fantastic.
But yeah, no, just some fantastic stuff. Tim wrote a couple of them. Eric Thompson wrote one, and Duck Washington wrote one.
Swank.
All phenomenal nice. Writers. So, you know, you know that you're going to get really funny stuff.
Yeah.
And the voice actors that we had put together, it was Don Krasnowski, Angela Fox, Lauren Haven, who stepped in last minute because Lana got sick.
Oh,
yeah. Still, I mean.
Yeah, but still absolutely. You know, and Charles Hubble. Because Jesus Christ, he could seriously do the entire show just by himself, and it would be amazing. Because fucking Charles Hubble is fucking amazing. And then Tim and Jeffrey Brown was there to do music and a couple like side voices. Great lineup of people, funny stuff. I love that show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and this is like the old time radio stuff that I just love.
Oh yeah, it gets me every time.
Wish that I could have been there.
So. Anyway, should we take a break?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Okay.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Yay. And as mentioned before, we were going to read a little bit of Robbie Burns.
We're going to get some culture up in your ear holes.
Address to a haggis.
Yes.
And this website actually has the translation.
Oh. Huh?
So I will read a couple stanzas of this because it is 8 long. And I'll just read instead of... putting everybody through my Scottish brogue.
Thank you.
Longer than absolutely necessary.
It sounds a lot like your Schwarzenegger.
All right, here we go. Address to a haggis. Fa fair your honest sonsy face, great chieftain of the puddin' race, aboon them ye take your place, painch, tripe, or therm. Veal are ye worthy a grace, as long's my arm. The groaning trencher there ye fill, your hurley's like a distant hill. Your pin wad help me mend a mill in time o' need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. And that translates to, for those that missed it, good luck to you and your honest plump face, great chieftain of the sausage race. Above them all you take your place, stomach, tripe, or intestines. Well are you worthy of a grace as long as my arm. The groaning trencher there you fill, your buttocks like a distant hill. Your pin would help to mend a mill in times of need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. And that just makes me hungry. Like, because goddamn, haggis so good. And I know that a lot of people have probably heard all of the hype around haggis, and I just got to say, give it a try.
Just do it.
Because I mean, everybody's like, ew, it's intestine, and it's like lungs and heart and shit, and it's like, yeah, but those are muscles, and it's barley and muscle, and it's meat.
It's not...
It's less disgusting
than hot dogs.
It is seriously... It absolutely is
less
disgusting than hot. If you can eat a hot dog, you can absolutely eat haggis. And haggis is way better because haggis is delicious.
I have a friend who hates organ meats and who is not fond of like blood pudding, a blood sausage or anything like that. I am blood dead. That's definitely not my problem. I fucking love it. But
I don't know
like
that I
English
have
fry,
had blood sausage.
Blood sausage is so
it's pretty fucking
so
good.
Much, ugh. Mm. Iron and protein.
But even he likes haggis.
Yeah, it's just so good. It is so, so good. It reminds me of, like, if you'd get hamburger and mix it with, like, just a little bit of... It's almost like a meatloaf.
Yeah,
it is,
it's a lot like
it
meatloaf.
It is almost exactly like meatloaf. Just a
different
smoother,
meatloaf.
Like a smoother meatloaf.
Yeah,
like take instead of you know just browning the meat, if you take the meat and put it through like a grinder, not a grinder. What's the word I'm looking for? Cuisinart things.
Food processor.
Yeah, like if you take the meat and put it through a food processor and then make meatloaf out of that, that's kind of what it's like. It's a lot more smoother than meatloaf, but otherwise, basically, that's the same thing, and it's really, really good.
It is quite good. Yeah. It is one of my favorite foods. That same friend calls it my Scottish spinach, because after that, like, he's like, all right, we need to get all of this heavy work done, and then I'm going to go get you some haggis.
Also a good source of iron.
He's like, I understand that it's like your Popeye spinach. That's, you know.
Hey, while we're talking about food, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Some of you may not care, especially those of you that don't even live in this country, but for those of us here in Minnesota, it's unfortunately all too real. Because the Super Bowl is going to be this weekend.
Yep.
Yay, Super Bowl!
I don't particularly
care. The Super Bowl.
I don't particularly care about football at all. I feel like James doesn't really care, you know.
I mean,
okay.
I'm not against it.
I like a good football game, and so I don't care if it's the Super Bowl or if it's just a regular off-season. As long as the game itself is good.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
And by good, I don't mean like somebody totally womps in. I mean like a good tight game where everybody's playing at top form, things like that.
A good roller coaster of emotion. All right.
Yeah. I love watching a good football game. Mm-hmm. It is torture to watch a shitty one.
Fair enough. Okay. So we've got an apathetic, as long as it's not shit.
I'm really more football agnostic.
Okay. So an apathetic, an agnostic, and a as long as it's not shit. Our level of interest is not.
I might be a football connoisseur. Yeah. Not a nerd, but a connoisseur.
So,
what am I looking for? A critic.
Yeah, what wine goes with the Eagles? That's.
Sour grapes.
That was really well done.
But here's the thing.
Actually,
I'll try not to let it happen again. But here's the thing.
We know.
As much as I don't care about the game, I still enjoy going to the Super Bowl party.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the food.
Sure.
Because Super Bowl party food is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Oh yeah.
Because people go all out. They are pulling out recipes that they only use once a year, and it is the most decadent, fatty, just hedonistic food that you possibly can get. And you
it's
know,
like Thanksgiving with commercials.
Almost. Except it's more fun food than as much as Thanksgiving food is good, it's more of a formal food. Whereas football fan food is
chips. What can you do with chips?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What can you make to dip your chips? Sloppy Joe's
Super Bowl
Joes.
Party dips.
Mm-hmm.
You could fill an entire cookbook just with Super Bowl party dips.
If Thanksgiving is a bow tie around your neck, the Super Bowl is a bib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that's where you pull out everybody pulls out their mama's secret hot wing sauce recipe. And that's where the seven layer dips
Actually, what I like are the Super Bowl centerpieces that people will make out of food.
Out of deli meats and stuff like that.
I saw one that was deli like meats. It looked like a football field with like cheeses and meats and just like stuff in the.
That's fantastic.
It looked like a football field, and there were veggies along the bottom, like broccoli for the turf, incredible.
The players on the field are olives. But some of those are just.
I think
amazing.
They were baby carrots, actually.
Okay. I'm getting hungry now.
When you said deli meats, I started salivating. Like it was definitely a Pavlovian.
But so this is my question for goddammit. I'm gonna tell Kyle on you. I hate you so much.
I'm sick.
He won't stand for this baloney.
Oh my god. We're seriously not doing this, are we now?
No.
Salsa's gonna have a beef with you.
You're going to bring this on yourself.
I'm going to look out my window. I'm going to see him doing a drive-by mooning. It's just going to be a pressed ham.
Oh, God.
Seriously. Okay, so right. So here's it. Yeah, let's so be seriously.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my party recipe.
All right.
Okay.
And then if you guys want to,
sure.
Cool.
Sure.
But then this is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Listener, I want your recipe.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, I understand if it's your secret recipe. Don't let me know. By all means, I don't want to, you know, divulge your secrets.
Yeah, we don't
want
to have
that.
To take anything to the
But
grave.
If you've got that recipe for that party, whatever it is, that just makes people go, God damn, I'm so glad you're coming this year because you bring that thing.
Yeah, people don't invite you, they invite your food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, like, you're the person who makes the pigs in a blanket but with Cheddar Bay biscuits. Like, that recipe, you know, mm-hmm. I want to know those. Okay, by the way, I just came up with that and I'm making those now.
Yeah, that's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But here's my recipe for dip.
Okay.
Okay, and this goes with, very specifically, with Frito corn chips.
Okay.
Okay. Not with regular chips. This
no.
Very specific with the Fritos corn chips.
Has to be.
Okay. What you do is you brown pound a hamburger.
Okay.
Okay. And then you get a can of baked beans.
Okay.
Bush's baked beans. You know, one of the big cans. Okay. So you brown the hamburger. You get the Bush's baked beans on the stove. Beans in the pot on the stove. Heat it up. Throw in the hamburger after it's cooked. So now you've got beans and hamburger. This is our base. All right. Now we're going to put in a little salt, a little pepper. We're going to put in cayenne pepper, okay? We're going to put in chili powder.
Okay, sure.
And we're going to put in a little bit of curry powder.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to get that paprika in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now we've got it nice and spicy, right? We got to cool this down a little bit. Brown sugar.
Yes.
Cup of brown sugar in there. You know, to taste. But now you've got that spicy, but you've got the sweet.
Yeah, there.
And it's not too saccharine. It's still that brown sugar, heavy, you know, earthy sweetness. And then, you know, that's it. Like, eat that with those corn chips. So good. So
I can see how it would need to be the Fritos specifically. It's got kind of like a chili thing going for it.
So
it's still a dip.
Yeah, you need the that kind of corn saltiness from the Frito to really...
Well, the strength of the Frito chip is known. That's a real quantity. It's an architectural thing.
So that is my, like, this is my
awesome
sports watch and party dip that I make.
Okay.
The LAN party group that I have, LAN party and Oscars night and pretty much everything else, like the whatever it is, we make cowboy stew.
Okay.
And especially for like LAN party night, this is the fucking business.
Okay.
This is what you do because you can feed easily like 10 people. And I remember shopping for all of these ingredients we made the emergency run at like midnight over to Cub, and I was like, all right, we're grabbing this stuff, and then Aaron, we don't need your help getting the rest of this stuff. All you need to do is to go to the toilet paper aisle and get a six-pack of the most comfortable rolls you can find. And he laughed, and I was like...
So this is a vital ingredient, is what you're saying.
I was like, fucking do it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
All right. You get a number 10 can of beans, the Bush's baked beans that are like the survival shelter,
mm-hmm.
doomsday prepper cans, the family size, because you can fit a family of four in one of them,
right? Yep,
like a hot tub.
Grew up in one of those,
the gallon,
two
ones,
of those,
yeah.
And then you get 2 pounds.
Any
of bacon.
Any specific flavor?
The regular brown sugar baked beans.
Okay,
perfect.
I did forget to specify on mine.
Yeah.
Do not use the brown sugar ones because you are adding the brown
right,
sugar.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Get the onion baked beans.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. No, in this case, the brown sugar baked beans because you want that overall sweetness, and then you want a thick cut peppered bacon, 2 pounds.
Oh, nice.
Of peppered bacon, which is cut into chunks. And then you need what our group affectionately refers to as horse cock, Polish sausages.
Okay.
Because they're huge and
round. You don't need to tell us.
Nope.
We get
all right.
It.
Yeah. So.
I don't understand, James.
I'll explain it to you when you're older.
Okay.
I'll draw it on a bar napkin for you. So you'll need one of those, 2 of them if you're serving more than, I would say, 8 people. Mm-hmm. Then you need, like, Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Is a good match for all of this. Something that's got
some
very
zest.
Little sweetness, more zest than sweetness. And it's got a little bit of punch, and then whatever your favorite hot sauce is.
Okay.
And then a giant box of multiple bags of super cheap potato chips.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Because you're going to put everything else into the sliced up Polish sausage, the little chunks of bacon. The beans.
Now, you fry up the bacon first, right?
Yes, you do.
Do you fry up the sausage, or do you leave the sausage raw?
You do a partial cook on the bacon so that it doesn't just become, like,
crispy and
gross
shrapnel-y.
In the stuff,
yep.
But so that it still has a little bit of texture.
Good, okay.
You let the sausage cook in the brew.
Okay.
And all of this stuff just gets thrown in, except for the chips, which are your utensil.
Right.
And then you just, like, slop that out into, and then toilet paper is needed.
No cheese in that.
No.
Oh.
You can add cheese, but really, it's a lot already.
Based on what was already going in there, assuming there would be cheese going on.
You can also... Oh, I forgot. 3 pounds of hamburger.
Okay.
That's my mistake.
Yeah. All right.
So, yes. And it makes something that's really more stew-like or chili-like, but it's a sweetness instead of, like, a vinegar tomato taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's really
cool.
Fucking amazing. And again, it feeds
Sounds
a
good.
Lot of people for 10, 20 bucks. So that's a standard, and then, like, you just eat it with
the
cheap ass potato chips.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Jenna?
I've got 2 things. Normally when I host any kind of a party,
You got the taco
it's
bar.
It's the taco bar. It's straight up. Like, that's just, and there's going to be a taco bar, and who doesn't want a taco bar at a
Fucking
Super Bowl party?
No one.
Fucking
that's amazing.
So taco bar is definitely my standby, but I do have a dip recipe that I can't partake in.
Cheese?
Oh.
Yeah. But everybody else should, because it's fucking amazing. So here's what you do. You get 2 cans of refried beans.
Mm, okay.
1 can of black beans.
All right.
That's a good start, yeah.
You get a block of pepper jack.
Mm-hmm.
And a block of cream cheese.
Oh. I like where this is going.
Yeah. You throw all that shit in a crock pot.
Sure.
Okay. You get that good and heated and all mixed up. You throw in some green onions.
Okay.
Like, chop them up.
Hers is healthier than ours is.
Yeah.
It's true.
Nice and tiny, and you chop them up. And you're going to add your cayenne. And if you got red pepper flakes, those actually work real fucking well, especially against the pepper jack. And then you're gonna throw in a little bit of little curry, a little paprika.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the secret ingredient.
Yes.
About a quarter cup of grape jelly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome. Hmm. This sounds amazing.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hmm.
Give that just a little bit of sweetness.
A little bit of sweetness, but you definitely want to throw in those other spicy bits.
It's that savory sweetness as opposed to a sugary.
Yep.
No, nice. That sounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is the. It tastes like cuisine happened at your Super Bowl party.
Aw.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. So those are our party recipes.
Indeed.
I'm not joking. I really, really want to hear your recipes. Yeah. I want to hear.
As a matter of fact, Stefan Senpai has had the cowboy stew.
Awesome.
As well, too.
And I on my personal Facebook, I posted this, too, and I got a couple recipes that I'm really itching to try out. But I want to hear all of these party recipes. And not just dips, but cocktails or hors d'oeuvres or
some kind of way of doing a deli tray or
whatever it is, I mean,
what is your favorite thing to
if you
eat?
Go
what is your
crazy and it I mean I don't care if you I don't care if you go to the store and you buy a tray of X pastry and you just throw it in the oven, fine.
Sometimes
if
it's
you
fucking amazing.
Sit there and you make stuffed mushrooms from scratch, awesome. I want to know. I've done that for a party before, and it's a lot of work, but fuck, was it good.
Yeah.
My friend Scully, his parties, he always has these cheddar sausage biscuits.
Oh, my God,
That he makes bite size, and they look like little mini biscuits, but they But they have sausage in them and
I wonder if
cheese
I have time to hit up a restaurant before I go to work.
The last time they had a party at their house, I was not feeling well, and so I stayed home, and I told my wife, whatever you do, bring me some cheddar sausage biscuits home. And she did. She came home, and she had a little container of the cheddar sausage biscuits disappeared because they do.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
I actually do have one, even though I know my guts are going to pay for it later. Yeah.
That's how good they are.
It's you know, a pros and cons analysis.
I wanted to say thank you to you and to your wife for the pretzel that you had saved. That was
no problem.
Fucking amazing. Speaking of things that would be fantastic for a Super Bowl party.
Yeah, no.
Plus the cheese dip.
Yeah.
Those homemade pretzels, soft pretzels, were fucking great.
Yep.
And that cheese dip was, I don't know, Raider Lee made it, but I know she started with a can of cheese soup.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, like that was her base. And you'll have to ask her what she did to doctor it up, but that was basically her cheese sauce. And then I made soft pretzels, homemade soft pretzels, and... Mm-hmm. Fuck, that was good.
I kind of want to mix like a neon nacho cheese with like a habanero jack.
Oh.
Ew.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Hungry.
Yes.
did you had another thing? Or?
Yeah, I have some restaurant rituals and things like that. When I was working at a Chinese restaurant, and this is something that I still find myself doing or attempting when I go to Chinese buffets in particular, I have a first plate that is always kind of the same thing, and it's egg drop soup.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the garlic bread thing, I'll put that on as a little cap to keep it warm. Egg roll, you know, one small egg roll, a cream cheese puff, whatever kind of wontons they have, and then green beans and usually like a pepper beef, something like that, and white rice. And it's a great way to start my meal, and it's a weird kind of a ritual.
But that's your appetizer.
But that's the way I get started, yeah. Do you guys have things like that?
Khan's Mongolian Barbecue. I have a certain set of ingredients that I always start with. It's chicken and the rice noodles, the super thin ones.
Yeah.
And like the green onion and some other like... I tend to start with the more lighter type things. But then I garlic the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Just like, and now you are a garlic dish. You are all garlic. So I always start with that. And then usually my second one will be like a shrimp kind of thing. And I go a little saucier there. And then if I do a third plate, and Salsa's seen me do a third plate.
Yeah.
And beef. Just beef and lo mein and just... Like, no, really, you are going to fill your stomach now, goddammit, kind of shit.
Yeah.
At cons, my first bowl is always the, like, beef and mostly lamb.
Sure.
I fucking love lambs.
But then I do, you know, all of the vegetables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And dragon sauce and lots of it, because fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But my second bowl at cons is always a seafood bowl. I always do.
I think, my second is usually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always.
Lamb it's and just a lot
the shrimp and the calamari and the crab.
Become available for dinner. I'm usually there for lunch if I go.
Oh, okay.
So I'm usually beef, greens, but especially mushrooms. A ton of mushrooms and a little bit of tofu in there, because the mushrooms and the tofu cooked the way that they do that on that open griddle.
Right.
Yeah.
They pick up the sauce.
Yeah.
They hold the flavor of the
sauce. I almost always have mushrooms.
Yeah.
I put pineapple in for basically that reason, is that pineapple sucks up that sauce.
Broccoli. Beef, broccoli, mushroom, tofu. And then a good amount of... like a dragon sauce in the house sauce, especially.
This is something I always do.
And ginger water.
This is something I always do when I'm at a sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
I always end with a piece of the roe sushi and a piece of the egg custard.
Oh yeah.
And so that's my when I'm done, I can't eat anymore. I eat the roe, so I get that just one last of that roe, and then I have that piece of egg custard,
like the dessert,
and that's kind of my dessert, is that egg custard, you know, piece of sushi.
Sushi, I usually end with yellowtail.
Mm, okay.
It's because it's just so delightfully buttery.
Mm-hmm.
Just like yep. Then super good. 6 hours later, I'm paying for it.
I like. I like to do that. Somebody taught me when I was doing one of the conveyor belt restaurants in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, whatever you do, there's a rule about how much sushi you eat. It's the 85% rule.
Okay.
If you reach 85% and you're like, I could have another plate, don't. Yeah.
Makes
just
sense.
No, because rice expands.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And you will be 100% full in a few minutes. Yeah. So the recommendation, and you'll be over full if you eat to 100%.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake that I have made.
It's a mistake I make every single time because it's so good.
It is really good.
I just
good.
Want more.
Especially if you go to like an all you can eat.
Yes.
But yeah.
I'm eating it all.
I have definitely suffered from making mistakes. When I went with her, I learned that rule after eating because I had 11 or 12 plates of the little plates. And I was like, I'm not doing well. And she said, yeah.
Yep.
No shit.
But my tongue is happy.
Yeah, no, it is super good. I usually like to end my meal there with... green tea ice cream or red bean ice cream, especially
the green tea ice cream is absolutely the finish at an all you can eat place, because the ones in the cities here, it comes with that before the ice cream. I still have that
also before sushi. I almost always start with some miso.
Yep.
And a little soup.
Yeah, I like to start with the miso soup.
I skip the soup. I just bring me the sushi. That's
for me, it's a good primer.
Right, exactly. It's okay, there's stuff sitting here. I'm ready to go. I can do this thing.
Yeah. Plus, miso soup is just fucking amazing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, it is good, but compared to sushi, I'd give me the sushi.
What about like your favorite pizza?
My favorite pizza is the one that is in front of me.
Mine is the one that is dairy free. So
if it is a pizza, I will eat it.
Yeah,
I am not a picky eater. The only thing I do not like on a pizza is fresh lettuce.
You're fired.
Sure.
a taco pizza. Yeah. I don't like because it's got it's got that crunch to it, which is a weird texture that I don't like on the pizza.
Whereas taco pizza is pretty much one of my favorite pizzas. I don't like taco pizza,
and it's the only pizza type that I don't like, really, because I will eat whatever else you put in front of me. Like the Korean barbecue that you get at
Toppers?
No. Pizzeria Lola.
Oh, gotcha.
The Korean barbecue you get at Pizzeria Lola.
I was going to go through a string of local...
So good. If it's barbecue sauce, white sauce, garlic sauce, red sauce, meat, no meat, vegetables, pineapple.
Something
not
I can't
pineapple,
get in a lot of places, but the Luce has.
Tons of meat, vegetable. I don't care. I will eat it.
Artichoke hearts.
Okay.
Yeah, put an egg on that. I've had pizza with egg on it before. It's so good. Like, I don't care. It's pizza.
Yeah.
So yeah, taco pizza is pretty much my favorite because it's good even without cheese.
Sure.
I miss the baked potato pizza though.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god.
I believe. Who is it?
Toppers has a.
Do they still have?
They have the potato topper.
Yeah. Yep. They also had a mac and cheese pizza.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I love top. They just they have fun pizzas. Yeah. They have regular pizzas too.
They threw in a free shirt at some point because we had ordered enough from them.
Their desserts are really good too.
Yeah, they are.
Toppers is a good place.
It really is. I was actually really happy when I moved into the apartment. I didn't want to move into my apartment, but. It was within delivery of a topper, so it's like...
That makes sense.
Okay, well, there's a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Luce, I like their margarita with the Renato.
Mm. Makes sense.
Because that's the only kind of cheese I can have is the natto cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can't really think of any other, like, rituals that I have, other than, like, making a McChubble or something like that. But...
Nothing's really
springing to mind.
The McGangbang is a really common.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yep.
McChubble, McGangbang.
Yeah.
It's,
whatever.
Yeah, it's all the same thing.
I don't know if you could really call that a ritual, though. I guess
for some people it is. For some people that's a thing. Like on a Friday night they go out.
Would
to
just
do a
getting
thing
the
with
same
friends.
Thing every time be considered a ritual?
Kind of. Yeah. Like.
When I get chicken nuggets at McDonald's, I always order the honey. The honey mustard.
No, the honey. The honey.
Just the honey.
Makes sense.
It's a pretty amazing.
I never get sauces for mine.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but if I do, it's going to be the honey.
Honey makes sense, yeah.
When I used to work at Chipotle for a while.
Sure.
And so now I know exactly what I want before I walk in the door.
Yeah.
It's just, I get the same thing every time, so. I don't know if that's what you're asking for.
I feel like that counts.
Because I feel like in a lot of places I get the same thing every time I'm there just because it's what I like.
So. A friend that used to live in St. Cloud went back through St. Cloud and called his order into Val's Rapid Serve burger joint up there, which is a fucking amazing place. If you've never had it, fucking do it. But he called
the order
in. I'll be up
there in a couple weeks.
And he walked in, and the person behind the counter, she was like, oh, yeah, I was hoping it was you.
yes.
And she recognized
order,
his order, yeah.
Aww,
she was like,
sweet.
Charles, right? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I had delivered a buffet steam table from, I used to work at a Chinese restaurant, and they had a spare steam table. They sold it to a place down here in the cities in Minnetonka that was immediately adjacent to a Funko Land, which is now a GameStop. All GameStops have a Chinese restaurant nearby. It's just
No, it's one of those laws of the land. Yeah.
Right. And so
same strip malls. Yeah.
Yeah. I this thing probably weighed 500 or 600 pounds that we were delivering. So we brought this in and everything like that. And then the guy that owned the place, the proprietor and owner, he looked at me and he said, sweet and sour soup, 2 egg rolls. And I was like, yeah, you remember me?
Wow. Yes,
because it was the shit. One next to the Funko Land I used to work at.
Awesome.
And
that's fantastic.
Fucking 17 years ago, right?
Oh my god.
Yeah. No. So that was my workday ritual because I got like 15 minutes for lunch. They would already have those things ready. I would run next door, grab those things because they were also cheap, and then scarf them down in the back room and get my stuff done. Yeah.
Any other ones, or are we going to call this one?
I think we should call it.
Yep.
If you have any recipes,
if you have a ritual,
please post them on our website.
On the Facebook.
Or on the Facebook, or both.
We don't have comments on the website
anymore.
Never mind. Forgetting about that. We turned it off because we got hacked that one time.
Go to our... Okay, I will be posting this episode on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Go and comment your recipes on that because I really fucking want to hear them.
Please.
And then
let us know if you try any of these and if you like it.
Yeah. Or if you want to make any modifications or clarifications, let us know and we will try to do that. And also if you have any restaurant rituals,
Yes.
That you want. It's something specific that you do every single time.
Right.
And then we will...
you walk in, you make a beeline for the soft serve. I don't know.
There are definitely
usually the soft serve happens later.
No, that actually, there is a vegetarian restaurant on France Avenue.
How is that?
It's called Cucumbers.
Yeah, no, no.
Vegetarian, but no,
it does have a small meat bar,
but yes, most of it's vegetarian.
It is primarily, yeah.
But it's called Cucumbers, and it's this little buffet. But their soft serve ice cream,
yeah.
They have a whole fucking island devoted to just toppings
for
your dessert.
Yes, they do. Nice.
So you could go over there. They've got 7 different kinds of sprinkles, and they have hot fudge and hot caramel and
have like
cold
6 kinds
chocolate
of warm
and
bread.
Yeah, and
next to their soups,
brownies and strudels and stuff that
they very
put
regularly
ice cream on
have
top,
both
so.
Vegetarian and vegan options. They have gluten free stuff.
That place
They've
is
got,
really good.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're soft serve. It's like you can go in there and have 17 different kinds of dessert. All like based around ice cream and yeah. Anyway,
yay!
We will be back right after these messages from us.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we have been drinking some really, really good booze, but, you know, that's...
I'm sick.
When you're in Jenna's condition, that's probably not the wisest.
No, what you need is a pick-me-up, I think.
You need a little bit of a stimulant.
Get me through this thing.
To get you through all of the talking that James and I are doing that you got to put up with. What you really need is
consistent. But...
What you really need is a good cup of coffee.
Oh my God.
Cup of coffee that I had just this last weekend.
Oh yeah,
yes.
At Jenna's house.
It's which I actually pointed out to my little sticker.
Yeah,
because I had the Die Laughing meeting at my apartment this weekend, and apparently Salsa's like in charge of a thing for that, so he was there.
Whose stupid idea was that?
But for this meeting, I served coffee. I served coffee for this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess what kind of coffee it was, James?
Just guess.
Come on.
Guess.
You can do it.
Come on. You got it.
Was it good coffee?
It was incredible.
Was it the best coffee?
It was, in fact.
Well, if it was the best
coffee,
it must be True Stone.
That's right.
It absolutely was True Stone.
And I actually have a little True Stone sticker on my coffee maker.
Yep. Make it legit. True Stone.
It's the only kind of coffee that has been through that.
It's a performance machine.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Requires high octane fuel.
But here's the thing. You do not have to be the head of some department and go to Jenna's house in order to have True Stone coffee. No, indeed. All you need to do is go to the website, truestonecoffee.com, and you can order coffee for your very self.
What?
Yes, that's right. You can get coffee beans roasted fresh delivered to your door.
How fucking cool is that? Yes.
And then you can buy some nice swag and get a t-shirt, because who doesn't like t-shirts?
Yeah. Oh,
and you can get a nice tulip glass, and you can get either some beans, or you could get some
cold brew, nice, really.
I don't have a lot of money, though, right now. So
travel size. Hey, that's okay. You don't need a lot. Because you can go to their website, and after you are done... Mm-hmm. Figuring out what you want to buy, and you look at the total and you go, I don't know if I want to pay that much. Go to that little promo code window and type in
Apropos.
It's spelled apropos, though.
Exactly. And 10% of that number just gets disappears.
Just gets removed.
Just disappears.
Yeah. Yep.
Poof. Just move that decimal point over.
Yep.
That's how much just drops right off of your amount.
Oh.
It's so easy to just, all you got to do is not
indeed
be shitty at spelling apropos, and you can have money in your pocket.
And you will get
and coffee
the best coffee from the best people.
It's true. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
All right. For those that do not know how this works, what a Fast Five is we get two messages from you. That's right, you, our dear listener. Those messages contain in the first message five A or B choices. We do not know what these choices mean. All we know is we have five of them, and we have to choose which one we think you meant based on what we think you meant. After we have gotten done choosing our five, then we go back and we open the second email, which contains the context, and we find out if we really like our answer or if your obscure question has tripped us up, and and that is often the case.
Super often.
So, today's comes to us from Mrs. Mudd.
Yay, Mrs. Mudd.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Who has sent in
the clear leader in our current Fast
many,
Fives.
Many amazing Fast Fives.
Yes.
So.
And just an all-around decent human being.
Also yeah. that. So question number one. Bic or Papermate?
Let's see. These are both pens.
These are pens, yeah. Huh. Bic could have been a lighter, but Papermate is definitely not.
Yeah.
You know, I sold office pens, like Paxo office pens, for a long time. Yeah. Papermate makes some really good, cheap pens, but Bic pens are universal, and they have a ton of different uses.
Bic has the better logo.
They do have a really good logo.
The Bic pens, those are the ones that are super easy to take apart, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think that's what I used when I made Jess's quills for Fest this year.
Uh-huh.
Is I just took out the, I got a pack of like five or something, and I took out the ink, and I, but it still had the cap on it.
Yeah.
The
Rolly ball.
Well, no, there's
a little white thing around the end.
The little gold colored.
The white end? Thing around the end. Yeah. I think Salsa's talking about the same. I got mine in black, so...
Well, some of them are, I mean, I don't see
but
color,
it's the little cone thing that goes... The little cone part that goes towards the tip.
Yeah, that.
Which made it easier for me to get that in and adjusted into the
quill. Reservoir end.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sure. So I'm going to go Bic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not...
James,
they are incredibly useful. I had a friend who worked in a hospital. She was a nurse, and she's probably still a nurse. As a matter of fact, she would carry a Bic pen in her pocket because they are strong enough to use as a self-defense weapon.
Oh, interesting.
And so, without having to carry like pepper spray, because even if you deploy pepper spray correctly,
you still get caught in
it. You still get caught in it, and it's not 100% effective. And very frequently, it gets taken away from you and that kind of stuff.
Fucking sucks. I've had pepper spray.
So,
in my eyes
a Bic pen is strong enough to use as a self-defense weapon. And they're also good for holding doors open as a result. They are, they're great.
I think you've said Bic then, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's
Bic
what
it is.
With.
Well, universally Bic. All right.
Yeah.
Question number two, wide or narrow?
Tall and wide.
Based on the previous question,
all right, Bible camp.
I'm guessing wide-ruled or narrow-ruled paper.
Oh,
maybe. It
sense.
May also be, like, marker tips.
Good.
Huh. I'm going to go narrow either way, honestly.
I think I'm going to do the same.
I'm gonna go like the wide chisel tip if it's like a marker,
like a calligraphy style.
Yeah, because what I've because
I do
drawing
like the calligraphy
stuff,
style.
And for when I was doing diagrams as an instructor, being able to use the different lines was really
actually. You know what
helpful.
I really like is getting the chisel tip, and using that on narrow paper, but using the narrow paper lines for like measuring out where you're doing your calligraphy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm still going to go narrow.
All right. Narrow, and wide. All right. Question number three.
Yeah.
Left or right?
Well, left. Always.
I'm always right.
No, I'm always left.
Yeah. left over.
Whichever shoe you put on first is the right one, and then whichever one
I put on, whichever one I pick up first.
Uh huh. And that's the right shoe.
I don't even know which one I do first.
Like, my shoes are just in a pile, and I grab one, and we're, oh, this uh-huh. one goes on this foot now.
Yep.
I think I go right foot first.
I actually have had to learn, because I have a fountain pen with ink, and, you know, with the nib and everything like that, and because it is wet for a very short period of time as you're writing it, being left-handed, you have to develop a style specifically for writing with
stuff
that smears.
Yeah.
And
which is why you do the, like...
The crab above. Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right.
Yeah?
Cause. I'm always right.
All right.
You're going right because Jenna's always right.
Sure.
Yep.
Question number 4. Earlier or later? I'm a night person, so later.
I'm going to say earlier. Because I've had to teach myself not to snooze and not to look at Facebook and that kind of stuff when I wake up. That those are rewards that I can give myself for being ready and getting to my location so that I'm not cramped for time. I get up, I do the thing, and then if I have time left over, I'll take a little nap or I'll, you know, go and do something that I want to do so that I have spare time if I need it.
Right.
Nerd.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, otherwise, I'm a fucking puddle duck. I can't...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just... You are like every nerd stereotype wrapped into that one single description
I have had to. I have had to train myself against my inclination to dawdle, so...
Because I'm going to say earlier.
People are waiting on me.
Two earlier and a later?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And question number 5, love it or hate it?
I mean, the word it itself, it's kind of objectifying, but it's pretty handy, so I'm going to say love it.
I'm not a big fan of Stephen King.
I love most things.
That's fair.
At the very least, I don't hate very many things.
I have been actively, in all seriousness, I have been actively trying to be less negative in general over the past probably year, slightly less than a year. I realized for most of my life, I was very negative, and I'm trying to not be that guy anymore.
Fair.
You know, I would just bitch and moan and complain about things that I'm trying to be better. It's not as easy some days.
Right.
No.
But I'm trying.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
Those are our 5?
Those are our 5.
Oh.
Here is our context.
Okay.
First question was Bic or Papermate?
Yes.
Context is favorite brand of pen.
Sure. Bic.
I think Bic is, yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. 100%.
Question number 2 was wide or narrow? Favorite notebook paper?
Got it.
Okay. Got it.
Narrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
Wide just takes up room.
It does.
Takes up space.
And honestly, if you need it taller, you can just use 2 narrows.
Yeah.
What, like some kind of heathen?
Yeah.
Ugh. Barbarian.
Bring it. Yeah. Bring it.
Question number 3, left or right, which side of the keyboard do you prefer your mouse?
Oh, fuck.
Switch to the right.
Right hand. I've gotten, if you hand a left-handed person a pen, they will take it with the left hand. If you hand a left-handed person a pair of scissors, they will take it with the right. Pretty much universally. And it's because in kindergarten, there are 2 pairs of left-handed scissors. One of them is broken, and the other one is in use by the other left-handed child. And that's... you just get fucking used to it. You just get used to a world that is designed counter to absolutely every instinct you have. And so it is surprising when something is available as a left-handed option. So much so that I don't even think about using the mouse right-handed. It would be confusing for me to use it left-handed now because I have taught myself to adapt to a world that fucking hates me.
Don't hold it in. Let us out. Let us know how you really feel about it.
I mean, it's definitely, I've put a lot of thought into it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, and
definitely.
Yes.
Question number four. When would you like your work day to start? Nailed that one.
Yeah, I did too, actually. I love starting. Because I work from home the majority of the time, I just wake up and go to my computer.
Just do your thing, yeah.
And I prefer to start earlier so that I can get out earlier, so that I can do other things with the rest of my day.
See, I hear that all the time, and I call bullshit. Because you're just like, because if you get done with work earlier, you've got all this time to do other things. You've got the exact same goddamn amount of time.
Nope.
To do things if you're willing to just do those things 2 hours later.
Differences. I can go to the bank before it closes.
There is that.
I never go to the bank.
I could go to the bank
just after it opens.
There are things that I can do with other people easier.
I don't like people.
There is that.
So, but it's not bullshit. It's just that you have different things that you want to do with your time.
No, but it's just like... Well,
I can't do some of those things earlier in the day.
And there are some things that you cannot do
except
in the morning. Yeah. And you're at work to do those.
Like
so
eat breakfast?
Look, what I'm saying is I have the exact
reputable
same schedule.
I have the exact same
schedule. I have the exact same schedule as somebody with your schedule in the Pacific time zone. That's the only difference.
I mean, I
have the exact same number of hours in the day. I go to work 2 hours later than you do. I come home from work 2 hours later than you do. I go to bed 2 hours later than you do. I wake up 2 hours later than you do.
For me,
it's
the
same day. It's just a slightly different.
For me, the difference is like with rehearsals. Most rehearsals start at 7 o'clock
right.
p.m. Okay, so if I'm getting out of work at 6 p.m., for example, I have 1 hour to do anything and everything I'm going to do after work. In order to prepare
rehearsal.
Eat
dinner after the rehearsal.
Like to eat... Oh, God, I could never do that.
No.
I eat dinner at 11 p.m. all the fucking time.
Sure, I usually eat after rehearsal too, but I have to eat before rehearsal as well. this is why I'm fat.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the people that are done with their work day at 2 because now we've got all this fucking, it's like, fuck off.
Well,
I'm done with my work day, like, usually 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Most of my responsibilities
often
start
I can get to the bank if I need to get to the bank or do whatever other daytime-like things. I can go grocery shopping right after work and there's nobody there because everybody else is still working.
Yeah.
Like, I love having those moments.
I can go to the grocery store, too, and nobody's there because everybody's already done grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I prefer it because at 2 a.m. while everybody's asleep, I'm most productive at that time.
What I am saying, Salsa, is that, yes, there are, in fact, things that you can do with your day when you adjust those hours.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's
And very specifically, like the bank thing or the court thing or the whatever else, the doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
Things like that where you don't have to miss work to do all of those other daily things that shut down at like fucking 5.
But I mean the thing
so
is...
So when
is,
I say that I prefer to work earlier so that I've got more time in my day to do those other things, that means I don't have to take off of work. It means I don't have to do... Like, it is actually a time saver. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong because...
You are wrong.
No matter what time of day you start or what time of day you end, you have to make adjustments in your day. I have made adjustments in my day. If I start at 8 a.m., I do things in a slightly different order than if I start at 10 a.m. But that's just life. If you start a different job
if
that
you
starts
work,
at 8 a.m., you still
at,
have to adjust your
if
life
if you work an
it.
8 to 5 or a 9 to 5 or whatever.
Okay.
And you need to go to the bank, when are you going to do it? Now, take you specifically out of it, because you never go to the bank, but, like, a lot of other people do.
No, absolutely, but what I'm saying is no matter what you do, no matter when you start, no matter when you end, you adjust your life to fit it. And that's just what you do.
For me.
But the rest of society's time frames don't adjust for you.
No, you adjust
the
to
bank
fit
is
it.
Not going to adjust for
no,
you.
No, of course they're not.
Right.
No,
you adjust
when
to fit
I was
it.
Working when I was working like
so you start later and you
nine
adjust.
Or 10 and especially when I was working like the 12 to 11, mm-hmm. which was fucking miserable. When I was working the noon to 11 p.m., having worked essentially every kind of shift, as you have, as well, Jenna,
yep.
I can say, you know, yes, I can hit the bank at 8 a.m. and make it to work. Instead of doing that after work, I can do that before work. Now, there are definitely things that make it that may change when that is convenient. But what I have found is that most often, I don't want to do that. If I work mm-hmm. late, I don't want to get up early and do that shit before work.
And that works fine for you.
I can. But then the other thing is, and again, this is not a factor for you because, as you've said, you fucking hate people. but for me, the people that I want to mm-hmm. hang out with, they are awake and active and socializing during particular hours of the day. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered is that the early shift, first mm-hmm. shift, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., or the late shift, you know, up to like 7, 8, 9, right. 10 p.m., neither of those fucking works well. And I missed a huge amount of socialization when I was working like the noon to okay. 11 p.m. And I got a lot more of that and had more time to myself when I was working the 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Shifts at a couple of different places. Just by dint of how I function as a person, I allowed myself more time. I had I'm already awake and I'm headed home, so mm-hmm. I'm going to swing by the bank instead of I'm going to get up a half an hour to an hour early and slog through bullshit traffic in order to be at my bank when they open so that I can get there and do that before I go to work. Because I'm not going to allow myself that time. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to go. I'm just going to hit the bank later.
That's the other thing. Fucking rush hour.
Yeah.
When I go to the office, I fucking miss out on rush hour completely.
I never have a problem with rush hour.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great for you personally. But like,
I start at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because I get to the office by 7:30, nobody mm-hmm. else is on the road. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. It's really only the people who get to the office at, like, between 8 and 9.
You know, the actual rush hour times.
Yeah. Right. Fuck.
I have had so many people say that I was crazy for wanting to work a later shift because I don't get to do those things after. And it's like, you adjust. You just fucking adjust.
Yeah.
You have the same number of hours in a day. And that's and it's fine.
Yeah. We have one person
you
where I work
Jenga
now.
You Jenga your hours.
I still maintain the whole, like, society has different things. It's the social thing that James was talking mm-hmm. about. It's these other things.
Yeah.
I could not do the later thing that you do because I can't adjust other people's schedules.
Yeah.
And I need people. I am an extrovert, and I need
people. My same
people.
Overnight shift has kids, and they go to school. And
yep.
so he actually finds that it's incredibly advantageous to work overnight when the kids are having trouble sleeping and are, you know, and their mom can look after them or they can call their dad if they need someone to like tell them a story and help them go to
sleep.
He
works from home?
No, not always, but in some cases he can. But they'll call his cell phone and be
Can you tell me, physically,
you know, without having to wake their mom, they can call him and he's awake.
I see.
So they always have a parent awake. That's number one. Number two, he gets home. He drives his wife and children to job and school respectively. And then he comes home to an empty house.
Mm-hmm.
And sleeps.
Sounds amazing.
And then he wakes up and goes and picks them up from their respective locations and brings them home, enjoys dinner with them, and then goes to work. And, you know, that works really well mm-hmm. for him based on their schedule. But mm-hmm. if he worked an afternoon shift, you know, like a 10 to 6, something like that, that would completely fuck with his entire family dynamic.
But he would adjust.
Potentially, yeah. The thing is, human beings are incredibly adaptable. But this isn't a question of what you can do. It's a question of which works best.
Right. And that's what we've been talking about this whole time. Yeah. And what works best for me is later.
And that's what works best
for you. I just fucking hate getting people yelling at me that I'm stupid for liking later. Because early bird gets
that's
the
worm. That's not what you said earlier.
Early
that is not the argument.
No. This was there was a lot of stuff that wasn't in this conversation that was pent up and was coming out on this. Because I have definitely had people do the whole fucking early bird worm bullshit on me. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, but I prefer mouse later. Gets the cheese. That's.
Where were we at? Number four?
Yes, please.
Yes.
When you're like, okay. Number five.
Plus, I love don't it like or, worms. I don't want them.
Love it or hate
tequila.
It.
Tequila.
How do you feel about daylight savings time? Ugh. Fuck that shit. Hate Arizona it. Knows
honestly,
what they're doing.
Honestly, here's the business. I fucking hate time zones. And I know that's an unpopular... I think time zones are incredibly stupid. We live in a digital age.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does.
The thing is, you're just convincing yourself of a time. And I work overnights.
Right.
I have to convince myself of the opposite thing. It doesn't fucking matter what the clock says. I know when my bedtime is. I know when I wake up.
Right, but...
We could have a single world 24-hour clock not ruled by the sun.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean.
And, it could start... Like, we could all go by GMT.
I see. I thought you meant, like, it is 10 o'clock where we are, and 50 miles to the west of us, it is 10:49. Or how I don't know exactly.
No, he means the opposite.
Okay, I thought you meant because I think the sun moves. You're talking about micro slicing this. No, you're talking about everybody's on the exact same.
Yeah,
I see.
That's
what I got out of it personally. That makes way more sense.
Swatch
now.
Internet time, where they divided the day into 1,000 discrete portions.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew to love that, and no one's going to adopt it. Mm-hmm.
So you're just
particularly
saying,
not fucking America.
So you're just saying lock on to Greenwich Mean Time for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I use a 24-hour clock.
Like midnight for Greenwich
I'm left-handed. I drive a stick. I clearly don't love comfort, so...
I prefer a stick as well. But what you're saying is at Greenwich, it is midnight at 12 o'clock, and here it is midnight at 6 a.m.
Yeah, minus 5. Yeah, 5 minus 6, yes. depending on whether it's daylight savings time or not. But when people...
I just couldn't remember how far...
When people set their clocks based on the sun, that shit made sense.
No, I see what you're saying.
But whether I'm telling myself that I need to wake up at 3... And the other thing is, that made a lot more sense in a society that was a 9-to-5 society.
Mm-hmm.
When people took lunch at the same time and closed their businesses, when people, you know, farmers got up at 6 a.m. and
fuck that,
went to
farmers
bed
got
and,
up
like,
when the sun came up.
Yeah.
They didn't care what the fucking clock said.
But the the whole idea is that we have 1,000 people on 1,000 different shifts, and it's ridiculous for us to constantly have to adjust our time zones, and it fucks with our computers.
I think we
and
would
it
need
makes
both.
All of
I
our
think
shit
we would need
ridiculous.
Both. I think we would need both.
Okay.
We would still need a local time.
Yeah.
But then we would have a universal time.
Sure.
And you're talking about a universal
time. For a little while,
which universal time makes perfect sense when you're talking about things like international, where you have, you know...
When
you have an office in India and an office in Bangladesh and an office in LA.
You're doing work with
LA,
overseas.
You know, where...
Like the Hong Kong office. Yeah,
my brother-in-law works for Google, and they have offices around the world, and they have to have coverage across. So if you go... I'm working from 12 to 8, and you're working from 8 to whatever... Everybody is on the exact same page, and you don't have to adjust your time zone. That makes perfect sense. However, I think you still need a local time.
For a while, I think you would. Until you get used to...
You would get used to it, but you still need to communicate with somebody on the other side of the world.
Right, but you're still saying... over here, like, if we were doing GMT, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would say, well, in my state, we customarily open the office at...
But you would need to, you would still need to establish that.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you said it is 10 o'clock here, I need to go to bed. That would be really confusing for somebody who is 2 o'clock over there when they go to bed, because they wouldn't understand what that means when you say,
I guess there is like a common language if you're like, well, exactly. You know, it's midnight here.
Exactly. When you say, you know, I'm getting really tired, it's 10 o'clock. Then somebody in Australia knows 10 o'clock means it's you know, something.
Late-ish.
Exactly.
Sure.
So you would still, you could still, for those international purposes, have a universal time. Mm-hmm. But if you're conversing with somebody in Germany and you go, it's 5 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I should really get going. Then they'd be like, why? What happens at 5? And it's like, that means it's almost 12 your time, and then they would go, oh, okay, that may, you know.
I mean, but, I guess, but I feel like so, just as we grasp that,
because it, the, you
the
still
times, we make adjustments for times based on when other people go to sleep, based on
you still like, need a relevant, you still yeah. need that relevant, or the.
I mean, I guess.
What's the word I'm looking for? Relative,
a point of reference.
You still need a relative time.
Sure,
that you can say. You know, because everybody in the world goes, right now it is 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But if you go, it is 10 local.
Yeah.
Then everybody goes, oh, it's 10 o'clock. He's probably getting tired. We should let him go.
Yeah.
Or it is 12 local. They're like, oh, it's lunchtime for you.
But if you were like, it's
because for the guy in Germany, it's already 5 in the afternoon. He's getting ready to go home.
If you're like, it's 17, you know, 17 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? And they go, oh, well, yeah, we're just about to close up the office. You go, right, but over here, we're minus 5, you know,
yeah.
or plus 6, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And they go, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it's easier to remember the relative difference, and especially for that relative difference not to change, for them to go, oh, okay, they're on the other side.
I think trying to do a plus minus is not as easy as doing a relative time. And I think you can easily have both concurrent. I think it would be simplicity itself to have both concurrent.
I mean, think about the clock on your computer, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely. Universal time. Boom, done.
Well, that,
but if I'm talking to somebody and I say, it's noon local, then they go, oh, I'm going to let you go to lunch.
I suppose. But, I don't know.
And they don't have to do the math.
I would like it if...
Math is hard.
Yeah, it is.
That would also, I think, help us to establish more global thinking, mm-hmm. if we remembered like that other places exist.
If we remembered the globe, we could establish global thinking.
Kidding. Yes, actually.
yes, that's...
We should let James go to work.
Speaking of time zones.
Yeah, this conversation went a little longer than we were expecting it to be, but whatever.
That means it's a good conversation.
It was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, do we have anything to plug?
I'm sure I do. I just can't think of anything right now.
I need to do my wrap-up, by the way. If you would like to submit a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. We have a lot of them from Mrs. Mudd, and that's about... all. We do have like 1 or 2 other ones, but we need to hear from you.
Yes, we do.
So please send in those 2 Fast Fives to
We love you too.
salsa@aonpodcast.com. Send in the first one with just the questions, and the second one, repeat the questions and give your context. That way we don't have to bounce back and forth between the 2 emails. If you somehow get us a physical copy, yours will go to the top of the list.
Yes, it
and
will.
If you have never submitted one before, yours will also go to the top of the list.
Yes, it will.
Okay, sorry about that. Plugs. Jenna, do you have anything? No,
I
my show just was last weekend, so I don't
amateur
have anything.
Amateur show for Vilification Tennis will be opening the ticket sales relatively soon.
Mm-hmm. I bought tickets.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, you can get tickets, get tickets.
Yeah, get tickets now, because they will sell out 100%. So, get them sooner rather than being regretful later.
Cool. In 2 weeks, the 16th, 17th, and 18th is Mondo Juggle Fest.
Ooh.
I will not be performing there, but I will be there to, you know, work on my skills and network with people. And,
which weekend is that again?
That is the 16th, 17th, and 18th of February.
Trivia!
Oh, yeah. St. Cloud Trivia.
Oh. So... I'm going to be doing.
You'll
more
be juggling.
Fun.
We'll be googling.
and then the following weekend is the 24th. of February. That is World Sword Swallowers Day.
Damn.
I will not be at Ripley's, believe it or not, this year for World Sword Swallowers Day.
I don't believe it.
The partnership between the Sword Swallowers Association International and Ripley's have decided that this year we are going to take a year off. Because we just a couple months ago had a huge Sword Swallower gathering for the passing of Johnny Fox.
Right.
And so between that and it being a... one of the decades for Ripley's, I believe it's 100 years now.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
There's exactly. So so it was decided to take an off year and
celebrate
get started
on your own time.
Exactly. So I will be dropping a sword at home. But
those of you who are sword swallowers,
are you
going to
have a local sword swallower party, like a Super Bowl party?
Yes. It'll be just me in my basement.
Are you going to have dip?
Yep. And it'll be just me in my basement.
A knife tray?
No. He's the dip. All right.
Oh, just throwing knives arranged around a tray.
There we go. I like it.
Anyway, that's other than that, that's what I've got. Is if you know how to juggle or don't know how to juggle or want to learn how to juggle or want to just go see a really good juggling show,
yeah,
Mondo, that's the place to be.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
That it?
For now.
All right.
That's it. I've got things, but later.
That is all we got. We should let James get to work, and the rest of you should...
I'm going to go to bed.
Send us on Facebook your recipes and eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.